Genesis chapter number 45, verses 1 through 5. Trusting God in tough times. Trusting God in tough times. Who among us this afternoon has never been wronged by someone? Every person in here has had someone to wrong you. It could have been a coworker that stole one of the ideas that you were working on a project with them. It could have been a family member who lied on you. It could have been a caretaker who perhaps abused you when you were a child. Or maybe it was a church member who began to spread gossip about you. And the sad part of it, yet the truth of it, is that whenever someone wrongs us, we always carry that with us. And what's even worse is that not only do we carry it, but we act as though we have a right to dislike somebody for what they've done to us. If you have a right to dislike someone for what you or what they have done to you, does God have a right to hold you or to dislike you or your actions for what you have done to him? Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray in the book of Matthew. He teaches them the disciples' prayer. And part of it, I think the part that we quite often skip, is the part where he says, "Forgive us as we forgive those." In other words, what he's saying to us is that I'm going to treat you just like you treat others. And so for you to forgive them, in essence, what he's saying to us is that he's saying to us that if you can't forgive your brother, do you really want me to forgive you? And so when we go to God, we have to make sure that when we go to God, we are okay with our brother. The one thing that God says, and the one thing that God challenge us to do, is not to wait for somebody to forgive us.
All right.
Whether or not you forgive me, I don't care. Amen. That has nothing to do with my obligation to you. My obligation to you is to forgive you. If you never forgive me, that's on you. But before I go into the presence of my God, my Lord, I need to take that thing and I need to set it aside where God gives us permission to cast all our cares upon him. And I love that verse, that passage of scripture where God says, cast all our cares, because God is saying, don't just gently lay it there. He says, throw it like you never want to see it again. There are some things that I have done to people in which I am so embarrassed of my actions, calling myself a child of God, and how could I do such a thing? And we all have those moments in our lives where we call ourselves, and we are indeed children of God, but sometimes our actions are not like God. And so God sometimes will allow us to go through something so that he can fashion and mold us and create us more into his image. And there's nothing like pain to get us to look like God.
All right.
I wish there's a better way or easier way in which we can go through something, come through, and then we are in the image of God. But unfortunately for us, because we, having the wrong blood in us originally, and that is the blood of Adam, we're too high mighty, too headstrong. And so sometimes we go to God, and we go to God as though we got it all together. And everybody else is all wrong. If there was someone who had a right to hold on to an ill feeling towards someone, it's Joseph. Now, Joseph, you know the story, he was sold into slavery by his brothers. Not a stranger, not someone who sailed to the coast of Africa and captured him and brought him back to a new land. No, he was sold by the folk that is in his own house. If you ever want to know who Satan will use to get you, look at those around you. It is those around you that knows how you tick. It's those around you that knows how to hurt you. It's those around you that sometimes has the greatest resentment towards you. You keep praising God. You keep saying how wonderful God is. And look at your household, and it will be in your household where others who should understand that if you are blessed, then the house is blessed. But sometimes Satan can creep inside of the house, and when he's inside of the house, the first institution that God instituted, being the family, is where Satan quite often will attack.
Amen.
And so Joseph says, you sold me into slavery. Not only was he sold into slavery, but once he was sold into slavery, he find himself in jail or in prison. Then he find himself being released, placed in the house, placed in the master's house. The wife came to him. The wife wanted to have a relationship. He says, you can have the coat. You can have whatever. I am running. He ran. She still screamed. Now he find himself back in jail again, this time being accused of raping someone. Now, one of the things that Satan will use against us is called condemnation. Condemnation is not when other people give up on you. Condemnation is when you know the truth about yourself and you give up on yourself. Now, when God says to you that I'm going to take you through something, the key word is through. That is that you're not going to stop. You're going to make it to where God is taking you. But for you to make it to where God is taking you, it's going to require faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So in essence, what faith is an action word. Faith says if you believe, you got to keep moving toward what or who you believe. The word faith comes from the Greek word pistis, is where we get the word persuasion, the English word persuasion, which means that I have a firm persuasion, not in something, but in someone. And that someone better be Jesus Christ. So in the midst of going through something, you can say, I am persuaded that God is going to get me through this. I am persuaded that God is going to deliver me. I am persuaded that it makes no difference how long I'm in this mess. One day, God is going to deliver me. And so you may not be able to have blessed assurance that your situation is going to be okay, but you know who controls the situation. And as long as God controls the situation, then what you understand is what I'm going through, God is using this situation to fashion me. The Bible declares that we are created in the image of God. And when it says that we are created in the image of God, image is the Greek word charakter, where we get the English word character from. And that is to say that we are created in the character, in the image of God, but we're not finished yet. So God still has to work with us to polish us, to get us more like Him. And so God sometimes allows us to go through the fire because He knows who you are. When you take gold, put gold in the fire. Gold is never consumed by the fire. Gold is only purified by the fire. You are gold to God. And so what God is saying is that I trust you with your set of troubles enough that I can give you a sign, or allow Satan to assign those troubles to you, because I understand you're going to come through as pure gold. That's why you still shine. That's why you still got the Shekinah glory on your life. That's why the anointing that is upon your life is what Satan is forever after, because he understands if I can get you to release your anointing, to give away your anointing, then there's no power behind you. So in the midst of going through something, you keep walking it out. Now I want to draw your attention to verse number 3, where Joseph says what seems to be nothing, but it really is everything in what he's setting this situation up. Notice in verse number 3, and Joseph says, or said unto his brothers, I am Joseph. Okay, the brothers are standing from a distance. They don't quite see Joseph. They don't know who Joseph is. And Joseph says to his brethren, I am Joseph. In other words, what Joseph is saying is never lose yourself on the journey.
All right.
Sometimes you can go through something and people can make you lose your mind. Joseph is saying, I've been through something, but I know who I am. I am Joseph. In the midst of you going through something, I wonder, can you tell somebody, I am a child of God. I am a born again believer. When you're going through something, do you know who you are? If you know who you are, what you understand is that I went through something so that God can humble me, not so that God can destroy me. God will humble you, but he'll never humble you to the point where God actually hurt you. Now, I say hurt you, not your ego. Because sometimes when we're going through something, we are embarrassed by something and we say, you hurt me. You really don't hurt me. You hurt the image in which I would like to portray. But you really can't hurt me. Only I can hurt me. You can't hurt me. You can hurt the image, what I want people to think of. And so going through something, I'm embarrassed because of that, or I'm hurt because of that, or my image is hurt because of that. But that doesn't affect who I am on the inside. So the Word of God says, greater is he that is in you. You can't use words to hurt what the Spirit of God is on the inside of me. I know who I am. Joseph says, I am Joseph. In other words, he's saying, if I say who I am, what I understand is life and death is in the power of the tongue. It's what you say, not what they say. Joseph been through something, and they said about Joseph, you're a slave. They said about Joseph, you prisoner number 17K, whatever your number is. What they said about Joseph is that you are rapist. What they said about Joseph is all those things. Now Joseph come back and say, I am Joseph. None of the things that I've gone through in life has changed what I think about me. What I think about the God who has called me. See, God called you to do something, and what God called you to do, God doesn't never, ever, impossible will call you, and then God changes his mind. You may no longer want to do what God is calling you to do, but God doesn't change his mind. So Joseph says, I am Joseph. You took everything from me, but you cannot take the spirit of who I am. And he says, I am Joseph. I know who I am. In the midst of going through something, never lose yourself on the journey. So he says to them, to his brothers, he says, I am Joseph. The next question he asks is kind of, I guess we all would ask the question. But what he asks them, he says, does my father yet live? In other words, what he's saying is that I know who I am, and I want you to know where I'm going. Sometimes we can get to a place where we're the number one man in the house, number one man in the church, number one man in the company, and we act like we forget who we really are. Joseph is saying, that's my father. In other words, I know how I got here. I know who my people are. I know who I'm connected to. Does my father yet live? In other words, he did not get bitter through the process. He understood the process was to make him better. Not only was the process to make him better, but now God had given him an opportunity to go back and fix what was broken. Oh, no. Pastor Boyd hurt me. I'm not going to deal with him anymore. Never again. See, God wants you to go back and fix some stuff sometimes. Because sometimes when I think you hurt me or you did something, God will put you in the mirror and let you examine yourself and say, what did you do in the process? See, it's not always the people that you think wrong you. Sometimes it's what you did that caused that person to respond to what you said, what you did. See, every now and then we have to take a look at ourselves. And so when we take a look at ourselves, we understand that God is forever trying to mold us. And as God began to mold us, God wants us to understand that I'm working on you. The Bible declares that iron sharpens iron. So God will always allow you to be in the path of you. God will always allow you to be in the path of you. And you wonder, why do I keep running across this crazy person? And God is saying, because you crazy, just like that. So you can see the craziness in somebody else, but you can't see it in you. So God will allow you to continue, to continue, to continue to run in the path of that person until you understand, that's me right there. Now, I wonder what people think about me. I wonder how I look when I act a crazy person like that. So God will allow iron to sharpen you, not because he's trying to destroy you, but because God is trying to develop you. God is always about character. God is always about developing character. Because the more character you have, the more you look like God, the more you act like God. And what God wants us to do is that when no one is watching, still create the image of God, still live in the image of God. And that's why God is always calling us to be not just hearers of the word, but doers, to do work as God does order us to do work. Now, the word work has nothing to do with your day-to-day occupation. The word work is from the Greek word ergon. It has to do with who you are. So in other words, if no one is watching, someone should be able to peek in and see you and see God inside of you. On a Friday night, they should be able to see God in you. On a Saturday night, they should be able to see God in you. On a Tuesday morning, they should be able to see God in you. At work at 4:59, and you got to stay 15 minutes late, they should be able to see God in you. Everybody will not read the Bible, but they will read your life. And one thing that you can rest assured of is that when Peter, Paul, James, John, and everybody else was living their life, I am with confidence that they were not living their life saying, one day somebody's going to write about us. They were just living and saying, God, use me. Here I am, a vessel. And so as a result of what they did, then somebody wrote about them. You better believe that 20 years, 50 years from now, the impact that you're making on this world, somebody will write something about you. I hope it's good. Somebody will write something about you. They may not have to turn to John 3:16 to discover that God loved the world. They may be able to just look at your life and say, I saw the love of God in that person, and I can just read your whatever your name is, chapter number 1, verse number 1, and see that God still loves the world. To see that God can still take a nothing and do incredible supernatural things with. God is able to do all things but fail. He says, does my Father yet live? In other words, what he wants to know is, I want you to know that I'm still connected with you. And his brothers could not answer him. Look at verse number 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, verse number 5. Therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourself that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve your life. In other words, what he's saying is that I release you. I know what you did. I know what you tried to do. And listen to me very carefully. Never forget this. What they tried to do to you, they did something for you. What they tried to do to you, they did something for you. As a result of what they did to destroy you, that same thing God used to make you stronger, wiser. That same thing God used to elevate you. See, that's why we need to begin to praise God for our enemies, where the Bible declares that God says, I'll make your enemies your footstool. Without enemies, you can't go higher. So you need those enemies to come into your life so that you can take one step higher. And every lie, you take another step higher. Every time they crucify you, you take another step higher. Every time they say you can't, God does a supernatural thing to you, and you take another step higher. As long as you got naysayers out there that is talking about you, never get bitter. Always use that as energy to make you better. People will never see what you see. Don't expect everybody to see your dreams, believe in your dreams. Don't expect everybody to buy into your dreams. Everybody won't get you. And as a child of God, you have to understand that the more critics that you have, have, it's the more confirmation that you're on the right path. If everybody is patting you on the back and everybody's telling you you're doing a wonderful job and everybody's telling you you need to stay right here, don't you exercise your faith, you need to know that those people really are not praying for you. It's when the critics come and the critics say that you can't, you say, okay, God, I know that I'm on the right path. When people come to you and they sell you out, you need to know, like Joseph, okay, you meant it for evil, but God is going to turn this thing around. You need to know that I know, I am persuaded that you meant this thing to hurt me, but God is going to flip the script. And when God flips the script, somehow, I don't know how it's going to work out, but what I do know is when it's all said and done, God will somehow elevate me above my haters. See, we need to begin to praise God for what God is doing in our lives, to include the afflictions in our lives. Joseph could have went through this thing in life, and Joseph could have, he could have got bitter and said, you know what, I'm just going to serve my time in jail, and I'm just going to be done. But instead, he went into prison and showed how God can even live inside of the prison. The Bible declares it makes no difference how high you go, God is still there. How low you go, east or west, God is still there. I don't care what your plight of life is today. I don't care what you're going through. You need to know that God is still in control of your situation. Dale is not in control. God is still in control. See, Satan has to go to God, ask permission to come inside of your life. God cannot permit that permission until you're ready. Because if God allows Satan to tempt you, then God is not God. So whenever troubles come, it's not temptation, it's only a test. And a test, you have to know that everything that I've gone through in life was to get me prepared to sit down and take this test. Notice I said sit down and take this test. And so when I'm going through something, but they that wait upon the Lord, I don't have to fight my battle because this battle is not mine. This battle belongs to the Lord. So in the midst of going through something, I can sit down because I know that the God that I serve, he's a lifter.
Oh, yes.
He says, if I be lifted up,
yes,
I'll draw all men,
yes,
unto thee.
Yes.
Joseph's brothers thought that he was done and he was through. And Joseph says to him that God sent me. And God sent me so that I can preserve your life. Look at verse number 7. He says in verse number 7, and God sent me before you to preserve your. You. God sent me for you. While you were acting crazy, acting a fool, trying to hurt me, God was using me to be a blessing in your life. You have to be careful how you entertain the people that is around you. They may not look like much, may not have much, but one thing they may have is God living inside of them. So the Bible says be careful because you just may be entertaining angels. And you need to understand that God has assigned to every man, every woman, angels. So when you're going through something, never feel like you're all alone. Now the problem with angels, and I said the problem with angels, is that angels cannot think. Get that? Angels cannot think. Angels must be assigned to do something.
All right.
That's why the Bible says that every time you're dealing with angels, that God assigned them or God released them. In other words, they have to have instructions to do something. So the difference between us and angels is that we are thinking creatures. Angels don't think. So you got to pray to God and ask God to dispatch your angels. They won't go until you dispatch them. They can't go until you first send them. When you send them, they are going based off the message that you petition God. So when they are released, they are touching and agreeing with you. That's why God says when two or three is gathered together in my name. I won't have anybody pray with me. Dispatch your angels. Dispatch your angels. You got to set them free. And now the Bible declares, you remember the book of Daniel where Daniel says, you know, I prayed about this thing. And Daniel said, I prayed about 21 days. And in the midst of praying, when he says, my prayer was held up. And then all of a sudden, the angels came and the angels began warfare. Not physical warfare, but spiritual warfare. What you're going through is not a physical battle on earth. It's a spiritual thing. See, we keep trying to defeat Satan with physical tactics or earthly tactics. And so he'll continue to tear us up. But when we understand that the power to defeat Satan is not with the fist, it's with faith.
Amen.
That's the fight. The fight is with your faith. The Bible declares it is impossible to please God without
faith.
For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Have you been blessed today?
Yes.